This is the sermon podcast of Jim Parsons, the senior pastor at Milford Hills United Methodist Church. For more information about our congregation, visit us at milfordhillsumc.org. Thank you for listening, and peace be with you.
So today, as we celebrate homecoming, we welcome Reverend Abby Hedgecock to be our homecoming preacher. She has served as an ordained deacon within our conference since 2008, and Abby is originally from Salisbury, at another church downtown called First United Methodist Church. And you may know her by her maiden name, Abby Whitley. She's called Winston-Salem home for the last 20 years now, and has a background in Christian education where their primary focus is holistic discipleship. Abby is also the guide for our last recommendation of the transformation journey, and she'll be guiding us through the creation of a discipleship pathway and also some small group ministries. Abby is married to Jeff and mom to Cameron and Branson, who are sitting in the back row. Welcome you all as well. And four other furry and four-legged children back at home. So we thank Abby for being here and for treating us to God's word today. And so let's please offer her a warm Milford Hills welcome as she comes to preach today. Welcome.
Well, good morning. I start every worship with, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And it's good to be home on a Sunday morning. This feels very regular to me. I did grow up here in Salisbury, and I went to East Rowan High School. And I'm glad that my mom and her husband are with us today. And so, again, thank you so much for having me. Salisbury, while I have lived more, I think, of my life in Winston-Salem now, Salisbury is and forever will be home for me. So with that, we're going to get started today with our reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verses 29 to 35. Hear now the word of God. Moses came down from Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with two covenant tablets in his hand, Moses didn't realize that the skin of his face shone brightly because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all of the Israelites saw the skin of Moses' face shining brightly, they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called them closer. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and Moses spoke with them. After that, all the Israelites came near as well. And Moses commanded them everything that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went into the Lord's presence to speak with him, Moses would take the veil off until he came out again. When Moses came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see that the skin of Moses' face was shining brightly. So Moses would put the veil on his face again until the next time he went to speak with the Lord. This is the word of God written for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of our mouths and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, growing up in Salisbury in the 80s and 90s, on any given Saturday, you could find our family in one of two places. If it was a warm, sunny day, then we would be on High Rock Lake on our boat. But any other time during the year, we would be out on the town shopping until we dropped. Our typical Saturday would go like this. So after breakfast, we would make our way to Idols or Roses for the random assortment of things we needed, from fishing worms to the latest He-Man and She-Ra play set to a Halloween costume. Next, we would go downtown to our favorite clothing store, the Thread Shed. And then we would, of course, have to go to my mother's favorite place, the Stitching Post, where we were not allowed to touch a thing. Now, next up, the great lunch debate would begin between Spanky's or our favorite, Al's Nighthawk. 9 out of 10 times, I see the heads nodding, 9 out of 10 times, who do you think won out? Owls, because on a Saturday, the line would go around the block for Spanky's for a seat at lunch. So we would make our way to Owls to get our luscious foot-long hot dog with mustard and chili and our cheer wine in the bottle. I see heads nodding. I'm going to stop here for just a minute. Anyone else agree that cheer wine still tastes the best in a glass bottle? Can I get an amen? Thank you. Next up, we're shopping, right? So where did we all go in Salisbury? The mall. We needed some clothes and shoes, so we went to the Salisbury Mall. What a glorious place. You would see everybody you knew there on a Saturday. You could even coordinate your outfit for Sunday if you saw the right people from your church there. Now, this is where the rest of our day might diverge a little bit. Now, you see, if there was a hot new release like the latest Disney movie, you might get lucky and get to go to the movie theater. Or a friend might have a birthday party at the Burger King or McDonald's or the Snow Bar. Those were the best days. Now, however, more often than not, our day would end by stopping at a video store and getting a rental, a movie to watch that night. Now, those of you, I see the heads nodding, you know what I'm getting ready to say. The best day ever in the town of Salisbury was when Blockbuster came to town. Do you remember what it was like to walk into Blockbuster and the rows and the rows and the rows of VHS tapes just waiting to go home with you? But oh my, how our little town has transformed right before our eyes over the years. I remember when Outback and Old Navy came to town, and that was a big deal, right? And then it seemed like it was rapid succession. Every year, more and more stores came, and our little town started to transform right before our very eyes. They started adding schools, and people actually come to Salisbury now to visit as a destination. The way in which our town has embraced the change has been a beautiful thing to watch from a distance. I love that people now choose to come live in this little town. It's not so little anymore, is it? And even though it has transformed, it is still at the heart home to some of the best people I have ever known. You see, recognizing and celebrating transformation is a really good thing. It is vitally crucial for growth. When we can embrace change as transformation, our mindset can shift a bit. Even though most of us are resistant to change, when we look at it through a lens of transformation, it can take on a whole different outlook. It turns from something that could have a negative connotation to something with a really positive and hopeful connotation. We see this throughout the stories of our faith, where transformation is at the heart of positive change and growth in one's faith in the course of an experience within their lives. And no more evident is this than the story of Moses. Our passage today comes from the end of the book of Exodus. But if we think back over all the previous chapters of the book of Exodus, we are reminded of Moses' transformation. See, he started as a prince of Egypt. Then he went to living in exile. Then he faithfully answered God's call in spite of the enormous doubt he felt within himself. Time and time again, Moses would show up in the presence of God, wondering, questioning his ability to lead God's people to freedom. And every single time, what happened? God showed up. He met Moses where he was. He gave him the tools and the belief in himself. He gave Moses faith in himself and in God to go and do God's will for the people of Israel. Moses embraced this change within himself, trusted in God more and more. And as we see in our passage today, his deep connection and time spent with the Lord literally changed his outward appearance. We read in the text that his face was shining. He had just spent a lot of time with God, getting a better and deeper understanding of the commandments that he would need to present a second time to the people of Israel. And because of all of that time spent in the presence of the Almighty, his face literally told the whole story of this encounter. You see, this wasn't the first time Moses had gotten the Ten Commandments. It was the second. If you remember the first time, Moses received the commandments from God, had them all on the tablets, came down from Mount Sinai. What happens? The Israelites were up to their same old ways, not changing, complaining, not transforming, finding every way but the path that God had laid before them. Willful disobedience, a couple of conversations later, and what do we get? Worshiping a golden calf. The people of Israel are a prime example of not embracing change as positive transformation, but rather change as a negative thing. These are the same people who were so excited and ready for freedom, and yet at the first sign of a hardship, what did they do? They begged to go back to a place where they were held captive. In contrast, because of the time Moses had spent in direct contact with God, these close encounters are beginning to rub off onto the physical being of Moses. Moses' inward change is beginning to become evident in an outward, physical way. You see, light has long been associated with a divine human encounter. For anyone else, one might would boast about having a shining face from being in the presence of God. Not our man Moses. He remained humble, aware that it was too much for the Israelites to handle. So he put a veil to cover his face as to not frighten them, so he could continue to do the work that needed to be the voice and the guide in their lives. He wanted to be a catalyst for transformation for the people of Israel. Maybe, just maybe, they would start to get it this time, and they would start to shine too. But as we know, they wandered aimlessly in the desert for 40 years, still not getting it. And let's be honest, the subsequent generations, well, they didn't really get it either. I wonder how different the story of God's people could have been had they just embraced change. I wonder if they had embraced being transformed by the one who created them and loved them through it all. I wonder if they had allowed some of the light that emanated from Moses to rub off onto them, even just a little bit of that light. How different could their story have been? But as we know, it wasn't a different story, and so many, many generations later, God sent his son Jesus to speak a different word of light. As we heard in the gospel reading this morning, that light shines brightly for all to see. Jesus said that he himself is the light of the world. And then he went on to command his disciples to be lights in the world. There is not a better way to emulate the one who we follow, to be light, to shine for others with the reflection of his light. It is a light that we do not produce on our own, but rather a radiance from deep within by the presence of Christ within each of us. That closeness, just like Moses encountered with the sitting Lord, we have the gift of the living Christ within each one of us. And how appropriate is it for Jesus to describe this light as a lamp, something that is meant to light an entire room, to penetrate in the darkness. A lamp can be seen both in the daylight and in the darkness of night. So let me ask you a question today. Is there such a thing as secret discipleship? I'm going to ask you that again, and I want you to think about it. Is there such a thing as secret discipleship? If we are following Christ, his light kindled deep within, shouldn't we radiate? And not just at church, but in everyday moments, everyday places that long extend beyond the doors of the church. If our discipleship of Christ is limited to the walls of the church, then aren't we missing the point? Jesus did not say, "You are the light of the church," but rather Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." I think this is what Moses encountered sitting with God. He had a choice. Moses could have stayed and basked in the glory of the Lord day in and day out. Or he could take what he had learned, take how he was transforming, and go share it with the Israelites. He was their light, their guide, supporting them as they continued to struggle to trust in the Lord, to wander, to seek, and for a whole generation, royally mess up the opportunity for transformation. God saw they needed help, much in the same way Jesus saw that the crowd gathered at the Sermon on the Mount, they needed help. And today, friends, we need help too. We need guidance. We need instructions. We need to be told that the light is in with each one of us. All we have to do is not hide it, but embrace what is already there. You all here at Milford Hills have been faithfully engaged in the process of transformation journey through our annual conference. You have done a lot of changing, a lot of transforming that you should be so very proud of. Those of you who are here today and worshiping online should be so proud of the way your home church has embraced the changing world around them, not just here in Salisbury, but the changing denomination and the greater world. When COVID hit, you immediately asked for help to pivot worship and other programming online to maintain connection with one another and the broader community. Being good stewards of your assets, you have been diligent in planning for renovations and dreaming about your property and ways to engage with opportunities here in a growing Salisbury. You have welcomed new staff to focus on families with children and youth and connecting with our college community right here around you. You are welcoming those who have been traumatized by disaffiliation by serving as one of our conference lighthouse churches. I personally say thank you. Thank you for this. We thank you for shining that hopeful beacon of light for those who have been hurt by church, to know that this is a safe place, a place of light. See, so many ways you as a church are not hiding that light under a basket or a bushel. No, you're going to let it shine right out the front doors, down Statesville Boulevard, even up Highway 70 and down Innis Street. You, friends, are not hiding but shining. You radiate the light of Jesus for others to see. Part of our work together over the coming months will be to tie together this whole experience of transformation with discipleship. What does this look like here at Milford Hills? I want you to begin to think and pray about what this might look like for you on a personal, individual level. with the spiritual disciplines and the practices that seat you at the feet of Jesus. I want you to consider how God may be calling you to shine a little brighter in Salisbury, perhaps engaging others in new and exciting ways. Maybe the light is calling you to step out of your comfort zone and learn something new, to interact in tangible ways with the Word and with this faithful church. I wonder how God may be calling you today to tap into that deep longing in your heart that will draw you even closer to the one who made you, who loves you more than any words could ever express, the one who wants you to shine so, so brightly for the world to see. May God inspire each one of us to embrace a spirit of transformation as we grow in our discipleship and likeness of Christ, so that all the world may see in his likeness in us, and our face will shine as we love, serve, and live as Christ. A blessing that Moses offered the people of Israel before they crossed into the promised land. He never stopped hoping that they would be transformed by the light, by the shining face of the Almighty God. And so I offer this prayer of blessing upon you all today. Let us pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.